Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign. I had to record a little intro for a show last night. It didn't sound too bad, but I'm kind of hearing a little bit of echo now.
You hear it.
What's that supposed to mean?
No, it just means that you hear, you have an ear that picks up on things that aren't there.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Oh man, I just bumped into the microphone. I'm all discombobulated, Chris.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
There was a guy in front of me at the store just now that I went to, and the guy, I went to the register and she said, "You're going to have to hang on a minute because the guy ahead of you that I'm checking out now, he forgot his wallet in his car."
Oh man.
So he comes in after I wait and he hands the lady a $20 bill and the bill is like $21. And I don't have any cash, or else, you know, I would have expedited the situation.
Yeah.
And so he goes back out to his car, gets $2, comes back in, pays her, takes his stuff, leaves his car keys on the counter. Gets all the way out the door. So I take his car keys out. He's like, "Oh, I need to find my head today." I'm like, "Well, I don't have it." And so I come back in and there's another girl weighing bananas at a scale in front of my, in front of the register that I'm at. And
okay.
The lady has taken another person
who
now,
oh,
needs, who
no.
now needs a price check on $5 worth of stuff.
Wait a minute. So she kept you from checking out because this guy in front of you didn't have his stuff together. You go and help and all of a sudden they're hopping line.
Well, I mean, I think that if you help someone, you're implying that you have time.
Oh, okay. You're stepping out of the way. Like somebody who forgets their stuff, like they you need to give them every advantage they can get because they're probably going to squander it.
Yeah. I assume the Good Samaritan was unemployed.
Yeah, I got nothing but time. Here we go. Yeah. Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
168?
Yes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow, what a guess.
Ding, 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 ding.
Of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yes, your name is?
I'm Chris.
My name is Cole, and we're here to entertain your asses. This is the first episode of any show recorded from my new studio, the new apartment that Chris was kind enough to come down and help me get set up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, you were there. You saw it. Yeah, where I am now, you once were. Yeah, still in the same neighborhood. And I had the distinct pleasure of going to get groceries. So there are two things about where I live, all right? First is there's a mega church in the area, so every Sunday it is taken over by parishioners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have that going against you. But also today, as we're recording, there is something called the Oakley Pup Crawl.
Oh, really? On a Sunday?
On a Sunday, a pup crawl.
That's where you take your dog to a bar?
Yeah, get him drunk as fuck. All these dogs stumbling into and out of the road.
Wow.
Dogs already have a complicated relationship with streets and traffic patterns, so let's get them all nice and liquored up.
So, really, what do you do?
No. So, best I could determine, this might have been every dog owner on the entire east side of Cincinnati, descending on that little median strip they call a park,
right,
in Oakley Square. And boy, was it a bunch of dogs. Like, people packed like butt to gut, like Oktoberfest densities, and, you know, in this small area. But even in the outside eating areas of the bars up and down the strip here, all these dogs just kind of like not knowing what the fuck.
Just like chilling.
All these people, all these dogs, what's happening? But I only say this, A, to talk about how annoying it is to have dogs darting into and out of the street. But also, there was a woman, appeared to be a middle-aged woman, who was walking five dogs. They were like in front of her, like she was walking the fucking Iditarod. and right. and she was wearing a baggy, oversized Reagan Bush 84 sweater, which owning that.
What
is,
were they filming? Was it Rachel Dratch?
No, it was not Rachel Dratch. That would have been perfect, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her multitudinous cameos and things. Yeah. Huh. But yeah, that's what I've had to deal with today as I try and stock up this place.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's nice. Yeah. No,
okay, cool. Well,
that's good for you. Good.
Because it's all right for you. It's got to be your... What about you? What's going on?
I blew up a store today.
Oh, cool. Are we going to be seeing this on the news?
Probably.
Yeah.
When it lands.
Is it still up there?
Yep.
Oh. Well, yeah. You know, that guy probably shouldn't have forgotten the detonator.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be on you.
No, but that's it. I came to help you.
Yeah.
Yep. That's all I got on the news front for me. Nothing much changes.
Yeah.
It's always the same.
Always the same. Well, how about a story?
Okay. Oh, that's what you meant.
Well, no, sometimes we do banter at the beginning. It's fine. It's all good.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that huge mega church, do you think that they have catered events or do they like have potluck?
I think that they do cater, honestly. Like, so this particular stripe, of, I guess, evangelism. I'm not entirely sure. A bunch of people
cross draggers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At the crossroads. Like this is the kind of church where if I wanted to, I could just go in and use their like fountain pop machine at the front. It's the size.
Are they called crossheads?
Crossroads. Oh, cross the people. Heads. Oh, they're called cross hop, hot cross buns.
Hmm.
Is what they are. And the fun fact is, if you play Hot Cross Buns on a recorder in front of them, they have to do a dance and then grant you one wish.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the password, huh?
That is the password. That is the Snow Crash brain hack to get exactly into their neuro-linguistic programming. It's pretty great. They don't appreciate it at all. They're actually very upset when you do it.
Hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I would say they probably do catered events, but they also have like voluminous food service, such to the point where you can go and get free pop and pastries, and you don't even have to believe in God. They don't even ask.
Hot dogs for Jesus, buddy.
Yeah.
And what's going to make complete sense after everything you said,
mm-hmm.
on average, there are 145 cases of botulism reported in the U.S. each year.
145, you said?
145.
Yeah, that'll fucking kill you. Like, botulism is really dangerous.
Almost two dozen of this year's have come out of Lancaster, Ohio, after what looks to be a church potluck gone wrong.
Oh, no. Brother Seamus dookied in the casserole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He just got up there, dropped trow. He had a touch of that brain fungus that controls your movements.
One person died. 18 others were injured after injured from what? I don't know.
Well, like dehydration, maybe. I don't know. I'm not here to judge.
They were exhibiting symptoms of the rare illness. I hate the internet.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
It takes over. It makes it scroll to the video they want you to watch.
Uh-huh.
No. Poltergeist your shit and watching advertisements.
Yeah, poltergeist you through like to like an auto scroll. So here's the trick that I've noticed, just like even looking up how to stuff for you know, like, oh, how to hang curtains or whatever. You go to it and then it'll be like an auto loading slideshow, right? Nothing can be just a page that has a list of information, right? Because it has to be a slideshow. And what I notice is if you're trying to like back out of this, it will have, you know, after it's cycled through, every new slide is a new page view.
Right.
Right? So new page view, new advertisement, worse experience. Like, it's fucking untenable.
It's horrible.
The worst.
So anyway, 18 people, they had symptoms of it. It's caused by a nerve toxin created by bacteria. Yeah. So the one death, 10 people were moved to hospitals, 5 remain in the ER. And 3 are in ICUs.
Okay.
Most of the people are middle-aged, overweight, single women.
Oh, God.
No, not really. I don't know what the demographic of people that are affected by this are, but I assume wearing Bush Reagan 84 shirts.
Yeah, that's where they're made. They're keeping the hope alive.
They're saying that only 15% of botulism cases annually are foodborne, according to the CDC.
Like, where else do you pick it up? Like, off of a toilet seat?
I guess. I don't know where you get it. That's just what it says. You would have to do research.
Hmm. Yeah, that's pretty scary. Although, most churches, especially in Lancaster, that's what, Southeast Ohio? Eastern Ohio? Yeah, something like that. Most of those churches have they do like game days at their potlucks, including dented can roulette.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that how you get that?
What? That's why you don't buy dented cans from the supermarket. If it's if the dent is too close to the crease, then stuff gets in there and starts messing stuff around. That's also why cans get puffy.
Hmm.
The bacteria inside start going nuts, breeding and eating and farting and stuff, and that causes the can to bloat, and that also means that there is botulism toxin inside.
Oh God.
Yeah.
The church's pastor said Sunday's gathering wasn't any different from others usually held. Quote, "Everyone is trying to find the common thread. My heart is crying."
Well, yeah, because one person died. Like, that's probably...
Is that a symptom? Blurry vision, double? Slurred speech, muscle weakness, heart crying?
Yeah.
Sobbing heart.
Yeah, the saline in the myocardial sac really starts messing stuff up. The osmosis and whatnot.
Let's see, potato salad.
Yep. It's got to be some kind of potato salad. Like, this, like, Lancaster probably deep in the heart of mayonnaise-based casserole country. Thank you. Although it probably should have been more of like a sloshy, like, you know, because of the mayonnaise. Yeah, I would not be surprised at that. Man, potlucks. No, that's bad news.
I don't do it.
Yeah, will you rock up on a potluck?
I thought that Eat This, Not That was a guide to potlucks.
Like, if they printed some kind of laminated back pocket guide of Eat This, Not That. Like, okay, if it's a covered dish, okay, cool. Can you identify at least 60% of the ingredients? Cool. Is this floating in an inordinate amount of juices? Cool. Or not cool, right? Like, just as some of those simple rules and giving you guides.
Is there a picture of the person that made it sitting next to the crock?
Oh, that is so important. Oh, does the cookware or container look like it was manufactured before 1995? Because here's the thing, you could probably run like one of those old floral prints, Rubbermaid containers or whatever through an industrial steam cleaner and autoclave. And I bet you that has some kind of patina of cross contamination that you're just never going to get rid of. I think that there's some juju attached to that you're not going to get out.
I can only assume.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, at a potluck, the best thing you can do is make friends with the lazy person who brought the packaged food.
Ooh,
which,
yeah.
which almost always ends up being the dessert, so that's a problem.
Sam's Club never kills you.
Sam's Club, along the deli, they just have a yawning hell mouth in which chickens rotate.
That is right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to walk up to the hellmouth and say, "One chicken, please." And they give you a bird and it's good. And everybody knows nothing can live in a hellmouth.
I have to admit something to you.
Oh, boy.
Up until a week ago, when I watched a certain episode of Good Eats called Let's Wing It, I thought that chicken wings were the wing and leg of tiny chickens.
Chris, that's just about the goddamn stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Cole, I did. That's what I thought. I'm like, what did they, I always wondered, what do they do with the rest of the body? of these baby chickens? Are they, did they put them into soup?
Yeah, no, they ship them over to China.
I don't know. What are they? I don't know what they, but I did. And then I watched Alton Brown, you know.
Yeah.
Show you how you cut them apart to make them look like what you get in the restaurant.
Noted American hero Alton Brown, who I'd never seen Cutthroat Kitchen until you showed it to us that one night when we were just kind of chilling.
Yeah.
Like he so in his show he's kind of a trickster, right? Like, oh, he's very, it's a, you know, it's very goofy and lighthearted, and you know, takes like a scientific approach. In that fucking show, he might as well be dressed up in full on Riddler regalia.
Like standing in front of the hell mouth. Yeah.
Yep. Like he goes from being kind of like that goofy, quirky science cook who I love to being somebody who genuinely feels like he would sell my soul to somebody in order to put it into an Alf Pog. It's like crazy. So okay, so the factoid that was imparted on you by Mr. Brown was he was actually showing you kind of the anatomy of the chicken wing.
So he was showing you how to you know, take a full wing and cut it down.
How to take it up. So kind of like you know, how we have the humerus, the radius, and the ulna. Yeah, chickens have like the same thing. Yeah.
So I like the torso.
What's that?
I like the torso.
Well, yes, chicken breasts are delicious. Although that is where the most small bones are, so that'll get you. You have to be really careful. Yeah, no, that's understandable. I may have thought that at one point too, but all it takes is a little bit of thought. That's something.
But then I turned 10 and
but then I, you know, got a goddamn lick of sense, and that is fine. No, that's something that, like, if you read about it, apparently a chicken slaughtered in America, not all of it stays in America, right? Same thing goes for China. Okay.
We're exporting our scraps.
Yeah, well, and they're exporting their scraps. So, like a big reason why chicken wings are so readily available and actually were like dumped onto the market, like that is considered to be a garbage piece of food in China. I like that. This is an approximation of the truth. I don't know if it's exactly accurate. So they send all their wings over to us because we eat them, and we consider outside of the Deep South the chicken feet to be, you know, just a garbage piece of the chicken as well. And so we ship them all the feets. So there's like this weird chicken slaughterhouse exchange program that is going on a daily basis.
That's really disgusting.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, after we all die, we will eventually be, you know, scattered into dust or, you know, eaten by worms and turned into fertile dirt for other stuff to grow. And eventually our core essence will be scattered to the wind. But that is the only instance I can think of so far of such a humble creature upon death being, you know, scattered across the entire world. It's heartwarming in its way.
Meat swap. Meat swap. It's sticky butt.
Sticky butt? What's that?
A gay bar.
Okay, cool.
Sticky comma B-U-T.
So, yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, it's a chain in Montana. So let's go from one food-related story to another, okay?
Okay.
Initiations don't just happen in the military. They don't just happen in college. Sometimes out in the wide, wide world, there are certain rites of passage that you have to go through before you can be considered a part of the whole, right? In any new group. Okay. Here is probably the weirdest example of this that I've seen so far. So apparently there's this one group of traders in London, like, you know, stock market, like Wolf of Wall Street type shits, right?
Okay.
Where their initiation is to force somebody, you know, like a new guy, to eat 8 quarter pounders within 60 minutes.
Okay.
That's psychotic.
Not really. It's like, what, 3 pounds, 4 pounds?
God damn it, Chris. Chris, it is 2 pounds. because they are a quarter pound, you see.
Yeah, I gotcha. But there's buns and shit.
Yeah,
and ketchup,
yeah.
And pickles.
Well,
and...
well, no, though. Like it's a quarter pound before cooking. So
low carb.
The water weight is going to you know, go away. It is not. It would be impossible for them to predict how much beef would cook down to a full quarter pound. Mm-hmm. How much they would have to start with. So yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah, impossible. Well, you know, variations in beef.
There are no studies.
Yeah, there are none. McDonald's won't let it. They've got a stranglehold on that particular. You notice when you go to other like nicer restaurants that you'll never get like a quarter pound patty. You're going to get like a third pound, right? The third pound is the one that they they're going to go for. Right. Because McDonald's owns that fraction called a Royale. But the reason I say that's psychotic is because that is 526 calories.
Okay.
A piece. Okay.
Right.
You know, times 8, which is twice the recommended daily. Yeah, I don't know. Like for some reason,
like 40,000.
Yes, it is 40,000 calories. It is enough to feed a man for 20 days. No. It's 4,200 calories, which is ridiculous. And there's like there's another story on top of this where there was a guy who went into full on kidney failure because he was drinking, oh my gosh, what is it, like 16 cups of black iced tea a day.
Okay.
Yeah. So 16 cups of black iced tea a day, and like there's this compound in black tea that will just cause either kidney stones or
it will straight up kill you.
Yeah, it's deadly poison. If the ice ratio is not mixed, if it's not diluted just perfectly. So here's the thing: black tea with 6 ice cubes, delicious, refreshing summer treat. Black iced tea with 5 or 7, deadly poison.
Okay. You're dead.
What's that?
You're dead.
You're dead.
You died.
Yeah, go back to the go. Don't pass go.
So these bros are jamming the calories.
Yeah,
in them.
Yeah, yeah. These bros are jamming their pounders, and they're pounding the jams, as they say in the rap community. I don't know. That's just really weird. Like, I don't understand what the correlation is. Can you venture a guess as to why they would do that?
Because it was somebody thought it up one time and they were like, hey, let's make this a tradition, like Thanksgiving.
Chris, I don't want the perfectly reasonable explanation. I want you to comedy it up. Comedy it up.
No, I mean, there's nowhere to go. Somebody watched Pulp Fiction and was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't make bros logical. You can't make bros funny. They are what they are.
Is bros gonna bro, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, man. Mm. You could study it all you want, but it's not gonna change anything.
Yeah.
You know, I assume that, you know, the study I'm looking at is about bros.
Oh, nice segue. Go ahead.
Found out that scientists have found that heterosexual men, bros, take greater risks with money in pursuit of bigger rewards after seeing pictures of good-looking guys.
I want to impress him.
Men take
does he like me yet?
Heterosexual men take greater risks with money after seeing pictures of good-looking guys.
Does he like me yet? I want to impress him. He looks cool.
Heterosexual men.
Yeah.
Men want to appear more desirable to women, and having more money is the way to do so.
What does that have to do with anything?
Neither female subjects nor male subjects who saw pictures of attractive women showed the same behavior.
as dudes fucking up and they hustle because they see a picture of just like a ripped and shredded dude. So does that mean that every factory, every office just needs to be festooned with pictures of Ryan Gosling? Is that is that the deal?
Abercrombie
mops. Abercrombie.
I don't say Abercrombie very often.
Yeah, yeah, you see, yeah, that's fine. I'm just
I haven't bought a World War II or a duffel bag in a while. What are we going to do with all this canvas?
Oh,
The experiments involved showing men pictures of male Abercrombie models and other pictures of Victoria's Secret models. And then others were shown images of normal human beings, which I would like to see that group.
Just like the faces of Walmart?
I guess, yeah. Subjects could take $100 or opt for a bet that would give them a 10% chance of a $1,000 prize.
Are they spinning the wheels?
I don't know how they did it.
Oh. So they took more risks when they saw a picture of a hot dude.
Yeah, men took bigger risks when they viewed themselves as less attractive compared to the models.
Oh, because they feel like they have something to prove.
I think that when you're in the company of good-looking men, the idea is that if you have a lot more money than the good-looking man, uh-huh. you may be at or above his level.
Oh, it's the Bill Gates thing, right?
So have ugly friends.
Well, that's context, right? No, if you have ugly friends, you're not going to be driven to achieve. Like, you have to be like straight up rolling around with basically Zoolander's crew 24/7 in order to like have the motivation that you need.
Be good looking, have ugly friends, and then gamble with them.
Oh yeah,
play poker with ugly friends.
Yeah, because you're not thinking straight.
Yeah,
they're very, very straight, but they're not thinking straight.
Too risky.
Yeah,
because you're hot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because you're like smoking hot. Like you're fucking causing traffic accidents.
Right.
Huh.
So you line your poker room with pictures of Victoria's Secret models. Load it with ugly dudes. You're good looking, and then you play poker with them.
Oh, you're just up on the hustle
because there's all these hot women looking at them. Uh-huh. They're like, oh shit,
staring at them, judging them. Quite frankly,
yeah, I lost three of my cards, but I'm all in.
His hat's up. I want him to like me. If I impress him, am I handsome?
It's not about impressing the man, you dipshit.
It's
inside the bro.
Oh, it's intrinsic to the bro.
Yeah, it's like two sprockets and brohead.
Just straight up grinding and throwing sparks?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Huh. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of social engineering that could result from this. Do you know, I mean, they're going to have to replicate the study. Obviously, they're going to have to deploy some pictures of Ryan Gosling in pool halls around the nation. Just to see if the principle works, but I'm a little bit upset that the implication of the or the unintended result of this, or probably very much intended result, is a transfer of funds from the ugly underclass to the upper class. We're gonna hit some kind of Morlocks into Loy situation from the time machine, where we have a whole bunch of like pissed off poor ugly dudes living in the underworld, and all the Illoi are gonna get fat and pretty up there in their sky cities, and then they're going to reap the whirlwind. Right?
We are the 99%.
So I have this weird doorbell here.
I didn't hear it. What does it sound like?
Okay, I'm going to turn up my microphone and I'm going to run down and hit it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1 second. Did you hear it?
I did. It was like somebody like made a circle motion with a bell and then rang it.
Yeah. So picture me last night. I order a pizza because I don't have any food in this house. And I'm just kind of like bent over messing with some wires. I hear, broom, chung.
Pizza's here.
Yeah. Freaked me the fuck out. I hit my head on the desk that I was under. And when I woke up 2 minutes later, the pizza guy was like, what up? So I thought about if I could, I just want you to guess, if I could customize, like just get a custom doorbell that was not the standard ding dong, because I want to change this, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the obvious alternative?
Awooga.
It's just the opening lines to I Can't Stop This Feeling. Ooga chaka, ooga chaka.
I don't, is that what that is? I thought that was the dancing baby from Ally McBeal.
I think that it takes it. I think that they're one and the same.
Ooga shaka, ooga.
Yeah, that's I only know that song because of our stepfather playing it over and over again.
Day ball.
But no, the obvious choice, the obvious choice for this is to get the theme to the Jetsons. You know, the it's the Jetsons, it's the Jetsons doorbell, right? Ding, 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 ding.
Okay. Oh, is that what it sounds like?
Yeah.
Oh, like, wow.
In the Jetsons, whenever somebody is at the door, it goes ding, 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 ding. Okay. You can't do it.
His boy Elroy.
No, no, you can't do it. Not, it can't be done. The only alternative, the only way to actually try to achieve this is to, there are some, like, customizable door chimes. But for those, you just have to, like, load an MP3 on it. And,
right.
And the problem is that just plays it very loudly on a speaker. That doesn't have the apartment or house-filling qualities of an actual chime. Okay?
Okay.
It is unacceptable. Why doesn't Hanna-Barbera sell a Jetsons doorbell?
Because no one listens to Techno Nomo.
Are you calling the Jetsons theme song an early like an early Kraftwerk kind of thing?
What?
Or was Kraftwerk inspired by the Jetsons theme song?
I'm sorry. What?
Kraftwerk.
What's the word?
Kraftwerk.
Say it the other way.
Kraftwerk.
Okay.
Okay. Was I putting a little bit too much English on that or too much German?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what you were saying.
Kraftwerk.
Yeah, Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah. No, nobody knows who the Jetsons are, man. Like I mentioned the Flintstones to the kid, and she's like, the vitamins? No. Like the cartoon, Wally Gator?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, nothing.
Wally Gator was always C tier, though. Like, you can't be upset if somebody doesn't know who Wally Gator is.
He's the swinginest alligator in the swamp.
Yeah, yeah, but like Grape Ape, he's basically a Pokemon.
Is he?
Yeah, all he can say is his own name.
Hmm.
Didn't think about that, did you?
No. Grape Ape.
Yep, see? Exactly, and then we've already discussed the cosmological implications of Speed Buggy, right?
Yeah, she doesn't know who the letter people are either.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me? That
nope.
they're not giving kids, like, what is that? Did they lose that in Common Core?
I guess. Huh. They had a phonics earthquake and they all died.
It was like the beginning of King Ralph. All the letter people were posing.
Yeah, basically.
And then it's the punctuation pals' time to shine, but they're
taking a picture in broad daylight.
Yep.
Yet there's an abundance of extension cords. Like, oh, I'll just keep these in the puddle.
Yep. That terrified me. That intro terrified me as a kid because that's a really grim way to begin a comedy.
I thought it was good. It's a good flick.
That was a comedy, right?
Yes.
A little bit of a. It was John Goodman. He was explaining Yo to a.
It was a rom-com.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hmm.
With that what if angle.
Yeah. What if you were the king?
What if this scientifically could happen?
Well, it could, right? Like, I forget where I was listening to this or where I was hearing it, but apparently whenever there's the State of the Union, like, that's the time when the most people, like, within the chain of succession are in the same room.
So
they have a designated survivor who is, like, sent away to some black site in order to...
Mm-hmm.
So you've heard this, right? Like, where am I remembering this from? It was a podcast I was listening to.
No, I don't know about that. I just know that they don't do it. Like, the president and the vice president, they don't fly on the same plane, even if they're going to the same place. Like,
right, right.
You know, that's why.
But specifically for the State of the Union, they'll send, like, the Secretary of Agriculture away.
Right.
And they'll give him a Secret Service detail up until the president and the vice president leave the same room. And then this person from the cabinet is on their own. Like, they don't get any kind of detail because the mission is complete.
Well, there's like a shadow government too. You saw Dave, didn't you?
Dave. What do you mean, meet Dave?
No, Dave.
Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin Klein?
Bill Pullman.
Wait, was that Bill Pullman or Kevin Klein? I forget.
Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman.
Pullman.
Hmm. No, but that was That was what? He was the president?
No, maybe it wasn't Bill Pullman.
That's different from the...
That's Kevin Kline, you asshole.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound right to me. I've never been able to correctly identify which Bill I'm talking about, Bill Pullman or Bill Paxton. But I'm pretty sure I know who off? Dave is. Well, how'd they pull what off?
Kevin Kline's too f- to be president.
I really wish you didn't say that word. No, Kevin Kline's a national treasure, Chris.
Not so much.
I mean, the fact that he's still working is really great. He was not that he was not that good in Old Dogs. However, as Calvin Fishoder on Bob's Burgers, he's delightful.
He's on Bob's. Oh, he is.
Yeah, wow. he's the eccentric billionaire who owns the town.
He also has a time machine because he's in a movie in 2017.
Oh, it's probably already filmed.
Yeah, that's why he needed a time machine.
Let me see here. Oh, wait. So Kevin Kline or Kevin Kline? There are two of them. Weird.
One of them has spelling.
Chris, what is with these words you're saying?
They're for you.
Okay. Jesus. Yeah. No, but there's I did the other spelling and then I got a hockey player and I was going to feel very bad for Kevin Kline, the film Kevin Kline Prime, for being out Googled by a hockey player. But
he was a child actor.
What was he in? Oh, he's in Sophie's Choice. Yeah.
Search for Tomorrow TV series.
Hmm.
1951.
I gotcha. Yeah, when I was doing pre-pro for a story I decided ultimately not to do, I found that it was talking about the Chinese government is cracking down on regulating the act of square dancing. Apparently there's a scourge of granny square dancing, and so they're trying to say, like, you know, like, here are the times where you can do that and here are the approved moves, and it just didn't really pan out in terms of, you know, for the show, I didn't feel like. But in my research for that, I determined that yes, in fact, the rapping granny is still alive.
Great. Yeah. The world continues.
Just so we know, the world continues to spin. Yeah. Hey, Chris, cool. You got a story?
There's a town in Saskatchewan in Canada. It's called Tisdale. They're, as a community, trying to rebrand themselves. So on the town of Tisdale's website, there's a survey. And you go on there and you give your basic stats, your age, your gender, you know, I'm sure whether you're married or whatever, like how long you've lived in the town, if you don't live in the town, whatever. Just general thoughts and impressions on what you think of the town. And then the survey shifts to, like, what should the town slogan be?
Yeah, I know the story. Go ahead. This is the only time you're ever going to be able to say this word.
Hub of the Northeast.
Okay.
Maybe.
I mean, a little bit bland, doesn't say too much.
A place to be, like bees, you know?
Yeah, like bees.
Because I guess they have flowers and shit.
Yeah.
Land of rape and honey? Maybe. A place to live?
Oh, I like a place to live. That was a good one.
Go back.
Go back one. Oh, yeah. Hub of the Northeast.
No. Forward two. Land of rape and honey. That's their current slogan. And they've had it for a long, long time.
So, yeah, the land of rape and honey, which that is referring to the rape seed, right?
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah, which is a key ingredient, I believe, in canola oil or something like that, maybe?
Animal feed, biodiesel.
Yeah, it is a very versatile, very versatile plant substance. Etc. Etc. Also, unfortunately named because of some kind of Latin root that is not pertinent to the conversation. Yeah, that's crazy. So, are there any kind of preliminary results?
No, there's nothing at this point that I've seen. But the reason that the town is trying to rethink that their branding and their slogan is because, A, production of organic rapeseed and honey, for that matter, has declined substantially in the region over recent years. And B,
it's a little bit of a PR issue, maybe.
Yeah. Yep.
Not a lot of
nobody. No, not nobody. There's a certain group of people that moved there because of it.
Oh, Gamer Gators, yeah.
And then, you know, there's people that don't go there.
Yes, because of the implication.
Right.
Yeah. Huh.
Tisdale.
Tisdale. You know, I think that I'm a fan of the A Great Place to Be.
Yeah.
Just because I want more town slogans like that. That's pretty good. Have I talked to you about this before? Do you know about Cincinnati's history and what we are almost called officially?
Porkopolis.
Porkopolis, right? So the two roads. The one we traveled is Cincinnati, named after the citizen emperor of Rome, Cincinnatus, who, you know, took up the mantle to lead Rome during wartime as a volunteer, right? And then abdicated the throne when his purpose was done and went back to his life as a simple farmer. You know, something that fits the city very well, I think, which is, you know, if not nobility, at least humility and kind of a little bit of a bent towards service, or at least an aspiration to do whatever is best for everybody. Right. You know, we are a simple Midwestern town. Porkopolis, referring to the fact that we were once a pork packing hub because of our German heritage, which would lead this to be the craziest city.
So, Cincinnatus, that's his name?
Yeah.
He was mentally handicapped. He turned off being retarded so that he could run the country and then went back to being mentally handicapped?
Yeah. It was flowers for Rome.
Simple farmer.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So, Chris, do you want me to tell them what they can do?
Of course.
Yeah, let's throw in a little bit of iTunes. We haven't gotten an iTunes review in a little while. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids. And you can find our old episodes. I'm working very hard right now to get the back catalog on there that involves, so basically right now, any episode older than, let's see, your 68 is not on the feed, but I'm working to get around that. So you'll soon be able to get a hold of those classics on, you know, without having to jump to the site, which will be, you know, a good thing. But give me a little bit of time for that. But there are still good ones there in that range for you to jump back to. And then, of course, tell a friend. Chris, did I miss anything?
You got it all.
Cool. Sorry, America.
Sorry.